Thank you all for coming once again. It's good to see everybody. We're going to be talking about prayer. I want to start off, I didn't know if I was going to throw this in or not. I've used this before. This is a quote from Blaise Pascal. I'm not sure if the greatest person to quote or not, but it's very interesting that goes along with prayer. It says that all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Right? Isn't that interesting? Think about our day and age. Maybe think about like the younger culture even. Are they able to just sit still, be quiet? I have a hard time with that, especially if they're drinking a little coffee. but think about that. Can we sit still, be quiet in a room all alone and be content? Right? Are we able to do that nowadays? Very interesting. But it goes along with prayer, right? We need to get alone. Are we able to do that? Are we able to get alone with God, a quiet time? How long can we pray for before we start thinking about what do I need to do today? Where do I got to go today? What's going on? I can't sit here any longer. I got to go. So let me ask you a question, though. Second question, right? What makes you pray above anything else? What draws you to God? I think we know the theological answer. Like, we know what we're supposed to say. But in your personal life, in your real life, what draws you to God? What is the one thing above anything else that draws you to pray? Let me suggest this. It's probably not good times, right? It's probably not good times. It's probably times of fear, pain, suffering, heartache, trials, tribulations, right? Those are the things that usually drive us to prayer. But what hinders our prayer? What are some things that hinders our prayer? What do you guys think? I'll ask the question.
By praying for people who are sick and ill.
Well, that's good. Yes. But what would stop us from praying? Like, what stops us in our daily life from praying?
My mind running all over the place.
That goes back to kind of the quote I said, right? Not being able to just sit still, be quiet.
Too busy.
Too busy.
Getting distracted.
Overcommitment. That's a good word right there. Yeah, overcommitment.
Self-reliance.
Yeah. Sin. You're moving too fast. I was saving that one for the end. Oh, yeah, things like comfort, right? The status quo. Walking in the flesh, right? Time and busy schedules. Laziness. All of this stuff. You guys are late. You're going to need a doctor's note. No, she was teaching risers. So one thing that hinders our prayers, I think, is unconfessed sin, right? Unconfessed sin. So why do we let these things get in our way? Why do we let these things get in our way? Why do we let it slide? Why do we get preoccupied with other things? Why don't we put God first? I'll suggest this, that prayer is the most important thing we could do. And I think someone said about all the things we have to do, right? I know I mentioned, I'm like, what keeps me from prayer? Or how can I pray for a long time? My mind usually starts thinking about all the things that I have to do, right? But prayer is the most important thing we could do. Talking to our Creator, who deeply cares for us. Above all else, coming to Him every day, moment by moment, on a daily basis. Furthermore, God tells us in His Word that He wants us to come to Him in prayer. Think about that. The Creator of the world wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. Why do we not come to Him? So, with that little bit of an opening, what is prayer? We're going to hit a couple of different topics. So what is prayer? Let's work on a little bit of definition. I mean, what is it? Is it meditation? Is it just sitting in a quiet room by ourselves? Is it personal time in a closet? Is it reciting memorized words? Right? What do you guys think? What is prayer?
Talking to God.
Talking to God. Very easy, right? Talking to God. Anybody else want to add anything?
Could be the other things too that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Meditation, you know, or just sit quiet.
Thinking about God. Sitting quiet, listening to God, listening to his word, letting him talk to us. How often do we do that, right? So prayer, this is what I would say, is prayer is a reverent petition and personal communication with God. So a reverent petition and personal communication with God. Sometimes prayer is something that we need to learn. You think about the disciples. What did they do when they asked Jesus? They said, teach us how to pray, right? We want to know how to pray. It's something that we need to learn. If you want to learn something, you need to practice it, right? It's not automatic. Although it might feel natural, let's not forget who we are coming before. Let's not be lazy. Let's not be lax in our prayers. We need to be reverent, right? We're coming before the creator of the world. We do not want to be disrespectful in how we approach or approach God or address him. I know a lot of times I've heard people say, when they're praying, they're like, they're like, hey, buddy in heaven, or they say kind of some little cute thing. And we know, you know, you want to be cute and everything. It's all right. But let's remember, this is the creator. He is our buddy, right? He loves us and cares about us, but he's also holy. He's our creator. Let's come to him with reverence. Remember that we're praying. These are just a few different points I'm going to hit here. We're praying to an all-knowing God. So we don't need time. Think about this when you come together and you pray with people, sometimes I'll listen to other people's prayers, and sometimes I feel, and maybe this is sinful on my part, they're a little hard to follow along with or whatnot. They're not maybe not flowing or choppy, but think about this. Sometimes we do it. I know I've done it so many times, and we all do it. We need to know that we're praying to an all-knowing God. We don't need to spend time explaining the whole situation, right? Right, we don't have to explain this situation to God. He knows exactly what's going on. We don't have to come and share with other people through prayer, explaining the situation to them through prayer, to pray to God. Right? It can be very short. It's, you know, my father's in the hospital, Lord, and you don't have to go in to say what's going on. Please heal him. Use the doctors. Give them wisdom. Petition. Ask. So we just need to communicate and pray to God from our hearts. He knows. And remember, it's petition and communication. So a point I want to touch on, but not spend too much time on, because there's something more I want to spend a little bit more time on, but is public prayer. How many of you struggle with public prayer? Right? Nobody raise their hand. Everyone's perfect. They don't mind. Like if you wanted to pray in front of the church to open Sunday morning, it's not an issue going up there. I'm public prayer. I mean, it's difficult. It's a little, you start to think, you know, you're thinking a lot, right? So I think something that we would all do in that aspect is we think about what we're going to say or do before we pray. Think about Wednesday night. Have you guys ever been there and you're going through the different prayer points? I did it last Wednesday. There's two people in front of me. I knew which prayer point I would be hitting. So... What did I do? I went, and this is just our flesh, right? This is our nature. We look at that and we say, like, oh, I'm going to be praying, and I'm starting to think, formulate my prayer in my head before I pray it, right? Now, it's okay for a prayer point. That's different. You look at the prayer point, and you see what it says, and maybe you have a list of prayer points. I know when we do the, not the benediction, but what's the opening, what's it called, Massimo?
Invitation.
Like when the elders would go up and start call to worship. Sorry. You go up to that and we have to pray. I'll go up and I might have some prayer points that I'll hit, like one-liners or something like that, that I've written out, which is okay. But when you write out the prayer, it's a little bit different because it's not exactly from your heart. So just something to keep in mind is don't worry about the predetermined prayer, right? Just relax. It usually sounds good if it's predetermined, but is it really prayer? There's no need to pressure yourself with an eloquent or elaborate prayer. That's not needed, right? You're not, are you impressing God with that? You're trying to kind of impress man, so let's not worry about that. Let's remember just to speak to God. Reverent petition and communication. Those are the best prayers. Speak to God. God is our audience, not the other people around you. So now that I said that, you guys can all make it out to Wednesday night, right? Right? I'm looking around. There's some faces here that come, but some not. Wednesday night, come join. So remember that prayer does not actually change God or his plan. Nothing can change God. God is immutable. He's unchangeable, right? Our prayers don't change his plan, his sovereignty. Furthermore, do we really want to have that kind of power? That would be basically saying that we would know better than God and that our idea is better than God's idea, right? We don't want to have that power. We don't want to be able to change God's plan. We can let him know how we feel. We can let him know that I'm not really looking forward to this, Lord, but I know that you will walk me through it when I submit to you, right? I don't really want to do this. Think about what Jesus has prayed, right? It's, I don't want to go, but Lord, if this is what you have, I will follow you. So you're not changing God's directions or decisions, but you're submitting to them through building a relationship with him in prayer. And when you're walking with God, when you're seeking him in his word, and when you're glorifying him in his life, your prayers will be in line with God's will anyways, correct? If you're seeking him, following him, your prayers will be in his will. So moving on, biblical motivation for prayer. So we look in the Bible, right? There's many different prayers in the Bible, many places in the Bible that we see examples of prayer. We see short prayers, we see long prayers, we see prayers in public, we see prayers in private. There's something that really convicts me in the Bible with prayer, and that is seeing Jesus praying. That if Jesus had to pray, then don't we have to pray all the more? If Jesus had to pray, shouldn't we be praying all the more? And more than that, Jesus always seemed to seek a place of solitude to be with God. Are we doing that? If Jesus did that, how much more should we have to do that? So there are a bunch of verses in the Bible that always come to mind. The one that always comes to mind, I should say, is his time in Gethsemane. In fact, this one is, I always thought, was one of the only verses that speaks to Jesus kind of seeking a place alone to pray. But upon further looking deeper in the Bible, I found that there's many places that talk about Jesus seeking a place to pray that's quiet. The interesting thing, though, is with this, is that the multitudes and the people kept following him. So if you read through the Bible and you look out for when Jesus branches off, seeks a time alone with his Father to pray, it's interesting how almost all of the time, everyone is following him. And it's like he can't get away. And it's kind of like us, right? We can never get away from life to seek that quiet place of prayer. So in Luke 4, I'm just going to go through a few verses here, just to hopefully encourage everybody. In Luke 4, 42, Jesus had healed many. And when day came in the morning, Jesus left. And he went to a secluded place to pray. But the crowds kept searching for him. Mark 6, 45, Matthew 14, 23, it's the same thing. They were feeding the 5,000 and sending the people away. Jesus sent his disciples away in a boat. And he left the multitudes and departed on a mountain to pray. But after that, he saved his disciples from the waves and arrived on the other side. If you guys are following along with the events that are happening in short, the multitudes were still looking for him that whole time. They were still seeking him out. He couldn't get away. Luke 6:12, just after the religious teachers were filled with rage and unbelief after healing, and before choosing his disciples, he went to a mountain and spent the whole night in prayer. The whole night. Like, how much more time are we spending in prayer? It's convicting, right? Then, after choosing the 12, there was again a great multitude of people waiting for him. Did you ever get that feeling where you just want to get away? Like, I just want to get away and spend some time with the Lord for a minute. And you can't, right? Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. But Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Notice that word often. Often, right? It just wasn't one time occurrence account. It was often that he did this. And the but before in the verse, start of that verse is referring to previous verses where news was spreading about him and large crowds were gathering to hear him. Mark 1:35. Notice this. It starts off early in the morning. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house. He went away to a secluded place. And what was he doing there? He was praying. Right? Is that a good pattern for our life? Get up early in the morning. And what do? We pray. Right? But notice after that, short time after, but Simon and his companions, they were searching for him. Couldn't get away. So, some conclusions that we can draw from this. The world is always going to be knocking. But we don't always have to answer that knock. We need to make time to break away and pray. We need to make time. Like, it's not going to be convenient, you know? It's not going to be something that's just like, oh, I have a few minutes, I might as well pray. That will happen. But we really need to break away and make time. And it's difficult, you know? I like to wake up early in the morning and spend some time with the Lord. It's difficult sometimes. So just to encourage you guys, we need to make time. It's always, the world is always going to come. So a few things. Jesus actively took time alone with God to pray. He often did this in the early of the morning or all night. Jesus often left the multitudes or at a peak in his time of ministry to find the time to pray. So let me ask you a question. How can we do this? Where do we go? What are some things we can do to get away? Away from all the noises in the world. Look, your cell phone's ringing, the alarm clock's going off, car horns are honking, the TV's talking. How often are we seeking a quiet place to pray? If Jesus had to seek out a quiet place, how much more should we? So what do you guys think? Just want to open it up a second. What are some things that we can do to get away? I was going to say that. Turn off the phone.
Leave the phone. Leave the phone.
Leave it on the charger. Yeah, the phone. Man, you know, like, I've said this and thought it a lot. I'd love to go back to, like, when it was just flip phones. You know? When it was just simple, like, you know, even, like, I guess phones on the wall. Flip phones were nice. If you know, if you're away in an emergency, you got a phone, you know? But it wasn't as consuming as now with the social media and everything else that pops up on your phone all the time. Instant email. Like, email is like, it's just like a thing now. Like, it's not, like back then, what was it? You had to go to a computer. You had to turn on the computer. You had to wait till it warmed up. Ours still has to warm up. We got such a slow computer. And then you had to dial up on the internet. You had to wait for that noise, remember? Remember when DSL came out and it was just like, oh, it was a little bit faster? But still, it wasn't like this connection, like where you're just like, right now my phone's vibrating. I'm like teaching, my phone's vibrating. What am I, you know, like constant distractions. Technology, right? Let's get away from that.
Guess where I pray when I'm sleeping.
Pray when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
So when you're falling asleep.
Phone doesn't go off when I'm sleeping. No.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's what my son says sometimes. He's like, about sleeping, he says, I like to pray while I'm falling asleep. So.
Now that it's nicer out, you can go outside and.
Yes.
A little nature and then start to commune with God.
Yeah. Amen. Being outside is a good spot for that. Yep. Yeah. I like that.
Except for the pollen.
I had. That's what I like to go. I like to sit on our front porch sometimes in the morning, and that's not doable now because of pollen. I'll be going crazy.
I was just going to say, sometimes I just like to go down the boardwalk park and look at the ocean, and then I say, this is who's in control of everything.
Yeah.
He made this, and it really makes you you know, brings back to how powerful he is.
Amen. Yeah. It's a good spot.
I also love the beach can see the waves crash and remind him of God's faithfulness or just the abyss of how great thing God is.
Yeah.
But in general, getting out of the house, when I'm in the house, I think of all the things I need to do in the house, of all the chores or all the, when you're out of the house, it's easier to be looking at a different environment and then it helps remove all the distractions.
Amen. Distractions, yeah. Amen. Good stuff. Let's move on before it gets too late. Good stuff, guys. So, one point, this is what I really want to ask today, is something that I really want to talk about is how frequently are we praying? How frequently are we praying? Is it on a normal basis? Is it multiple times in a day? Is it once a day? Is it once in the morning? Is it every other day? Is it only on Wednesday nights or Sunday morning? Are we giving thanks and thought to God throughout the day? Like, think about those things. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, verses you guys probably have heard, maybe you know. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Communication is important. Constant communication is important. Relationships depend on it, right? Friends, if you have a friend and you don't talk to him, maybe you know things about him, how is he your friend, right? Marriages, communication, something I'm personally terrible at. Communication, right? Something that we struggle with. So with prayer, it's the same thing. We need to be in communication with God, constant communication. One time a day is not good enough, right? That's not enough. Constant communication. Now think about if you're away from your friend, how would you communicate with them? If you wanted to talk to him. Oh, you got your cell phone, right? You could call him. Back in the day, you could write a letter. I don't know. But with God, we don't need that, right? We don't, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We can constantly communicate to God. We don't need to worry about if we have cell phone signal or if our cell phone's charged. We don't need that. Or if we have time. We don't need that. Notice that in this verse, it tells us that this is the will of God. It is the will of God. Did you ever think, what is the will of God in your life? What am I supposed to be doing? Here's one thing that you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be rejoicing always. Three things. Pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, what is unceasing prayer? What is unceasing prayer? Is it setting reminders on our phone to remember to pray, right? Is it having like a reminder, like they tie something around your finger so you remember to pray? Something I do is I have like different bookmarks in my Bible of different things that remind me of things to pray for when I see the bookmark. But is that unceasing prayer? No. So, interesting quote from John MacArthur that I feel wraps it up pretty good is, he says, this is an attitude in which we view the world, that all that is going on around in my life, all that occurs, it translates into prayer. If you see something good, it immediately raises, a praise raises from my heart. If I face something confusing, immediately out of my soul, I call out, God, grant me wisdom. So it's that constant communication throughout the day with God. It's having God on your mind at all times, and you're constantly turning towards him. That's difficult to do. I know for me, I feel like I'm kind of like one-tracked mind. I can't really think of multiple things at once. You know, if I'm at work, I'm working on something, this is what I'm thinking about. this and this alone, because I, for whatever reason, just don't have the capability to be thinking about a whole bunch of things at once. So having God on our mind at all times, always thinking when I'm at work, well, I'm thinking about work, but I can still think, Lord, help me with this work. Give me wisdom to do this. Guide me with this. Maybe that could translate to, there's a coworker next to me that doesn't know you. Please help me to share the gospel with him. See how that works? This will change your life and your walk. Continually walking and talking with God, regular quiet times each day, and communicating throughout the day will change your life, will change your walk. So it's been said, you will only be as real as your quiet time. You'll only be as real as your quiet time. Spend that time with the Lord. So sometimes people talk about these things, unceasing prayers. They kind of refer to them as like popcorn prayers. Have you guys heard of that before? Sometimes it's like something you would do in school or like a large event where you might go around and you say a sentence or you say a thought, you know, and it's these short little prayers, right? That's kind of what I'm talking about. It's these short little prayers in your life throughout your day. Sure, there's a time and place for a long times of prayer or even prayer and fasting. But that moment-by-moment prayer, which is more of like a popcorn prayer, is that continual communication with God. Some verses I've thought about with this, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. How many of you are anxious about things, right? I think all of us, right? All the hands went up, right? Do you want help with that? It says in the Bible, it says, but in everything, right? Not just one time a day or one little thing, but in everything, that communal, continual prayer with God, by prayer and pleading, not just one time, it's actually a pleading, like a constant prayer and pleading with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Your petition, your request be made known to God. And what will happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know? It's funny, just thinking about that right now. A short story, if I have time, which I don't have that much time. Coming to church today, setting my mind on this, right? Teaching, praying, driving along, all of a sudden, a little indicator comes on the car, low tire. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. Like, I just got new tires on this car. How is this happening? You know what I mean? And I'm like, no. Well, I got here, and I'm like, okay, we're here, we're fine. And Lindsay had to teach, so we want to be a little early. She had to teach with the children over there. So all that's on my mind, you know, and then I'm going to church, and I'm like, I'm thinking about that. I'm not thinking about the Lord, you know, and I thought, and this verse comes to mind, you know, and I'm anxious, I'm thinking about something, but with prayer, I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, help me with this, just take it off my mind. And then I thought, well, if it's the Lord's will that this would happen, it's going to happen, it's no big deal, I change a tire, I go home, not a big deal, right? Why worry about it? Why be anxious about it? Let it go. And I was thankful for the Lord for him doing that, right? And that's all. So there you put it to use. Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves. It's a thing, like devote to it. Matthew 26:41, it says, keep watching and praying. Keep doing it, right? Continual. Keep doing it so that you do not come into temptation. This is interesting. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And when you're walking in the flesh, what's the one thing you're not going to be doing? Praying, right? But when you're walking in the Spirit, you pray, right? So what should prayer look like in a believer's life? There's two things that we covered. First, seeking out those solitude places to spend time with God in prayer and His Word. Sometimes we can pray too much or talk too much without giving God time to talk to us through His Word. So remember that too. Pray and read and have those quiet times. Let Him speak to you. And the second, constant communication with God. All moments, all thoughts directed back towards God. So some application questions. We have like 5 minutes left. Have a hard time thinking of what to pray during your quiet times? Has that happened to me this morning, actually. Has that happened to you guys where you have a hard, you wake up and you're like, I want to pray, but I don't know where to start or what to do, right? Sometimes yes, no. I don't know. It happens to people. It happens to me. So I find the first thing to do is to read first, right? And then pray over what I read, and that usually leads me down the right path to prayer. So read first, then pray is the way. Maybe pray first and say, Lord, help me to understand your word. Speak to me through your word. Read, pray. It doesn't have to be long, right? You could start 15 minutes. It's not, 5 minutes. You know, it doesn't have to be this long thing. 5 minutes to read and pray, I'm talking, But as you do it more and more, the longer that time will come. Something people talk about is ACTS, right? The acronym. So A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. S, supplication. Pray over that. Go through that. So second thing, and I wanted to open and ask these. I have like 4 minutes left. I wanted to ask you guys and have more of a conversation, but I don't want to cut it too short. So how can we develop a heart that thirsts for time alone in prayer and not time alone in the world? I'll ask you that. How can we develop a heart for prayer and not a heart for the world?
By praying.
By praying. Bible, Jesus, God. Yeah, those are all good answers. No, I like that. That's good. We need to ask, right? Do not have because you haven't asked, right? We need to ask. Yeah.
Seeking the things above. Set our minds on things above.
Yeah. Set our mind on things above, right? Yeah. Set our mind. Walk in the Spirit.
You have to know you want to say what you want to say in a prayer before you do it.
Think about what you want to do or say. Yeah. Yep. Anyone else? We can move on because I don't want to spend too much time. How can we remove distractions? We talked about that. I'm going to skip that. How can we find more time to pray? What do you guys think? How can we find more time to pray?
You have to make the time. You're not going to find it.
Yeah, you got to make it. You're not going to find it. Yeah. Get up earlier. Set the alarm clock a little early. Make yourself get out of bed. Yeah. Find time, right? And then also, I would say that continual throughout the day prayer, that is some good solid time throughout the day when you're really doing it. Now, can we always do that every day? No. Because there's going to be days when we're like walking in the flesh, right? It happens, right? We don't want to say it, but there are days where we're just frustrated, we're upset, angry, things aren't working right. We're walking in the flesh. We're not walking in the Spirit. Those are not times when we're going to pray, but those are times when we should be praying. Maybe those are times when we have to stop and pray. So how can we become, this is a good one, how can we become more comfortable in a group setting in public prayers, like Wednesday night?
Practice,
right? Keep doing it. Practice. Yeah. Set your mind on God, right? When you're there. Like when you're in the circle or you're praying with someone else, right? Set your mind on the Lord. Don't worry about, it's hard to do sometimes, but don't think about what are they going to think, and sometimes I think about it, I'm like, I don't have the right words half the time. I usually don't have the right words. But just think about the Lord. Communicate with him. So praying through the word, right? In the morning, if you can't think like what I said, you read the word first, pray through the word. That means what you picked up in the Bible, right? Here's a good one is Psalm 27, right? So some people, I know that Jack kind of likes to do this, I hope I'm not misquoting him, but like he'll go through the Psalms one each day and he'll pray through that Psalm every day. Like he'll just keep going through the Psalms and use that to guide his prayers. Psalm 27 is a favorite of mine. You can go through that and you can easily pray through it. I like verse 4. One thing that I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Pray that for your own life. Is that the one thing that you seek? is to seek the Lord. So use the word to pray back to God. Sometimes it's a little difficult, but the more you do it, the more practice you get, the easier it becomes. So things to think about. And I'll end in maybe 2 minutes. So we'll be like a minute late, sorry. Things to think about. How often, these are just prayers for your own personal thought, how often do I ask the Holy Spirit for revelation? How often do I ask the Holy Spirit for revelation? Do I know and praise God for who he is, for his attributes? Do I know them and do I praise him for who he is? What specifically am I thankful for? Do I know where my joy comes from? Do I praise God for what he will do or what he has done, even when it's something I don't like? What sin do I need to confess? What sins are repetitive in my life? And have I asked God to break the strongholds? Have I asked God to search my heart? Do I pray for my enemies? Some things to think about. So in closing, I want to say this is something that I always think about, but it's not, but I used to think about it pretty often when I meditate on this verse because I love it. So Genesis, not Galatians, Genesis 5:24 about Enoch, right? There's not much mentioned in the Bible about Enoch. Interesting guy. But it says that Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. This suggests a deep communion and alignment with God and his will. This isn't what the Bible says, but this is like what I said. This is like what I kind of imagine it to be. God and Enoch started for a walk one day before first light. As the day went on, they were having such great communion and conversation, prayer, right? Together, that the end of the day came quickly. And God said, now look, how far we have walked away from your house. We are now so much closer to my house. Why don't you just come with me to my house? So they went, and he was no more because God took him away, because he walked faithfully with God. So let's walk faithfully and prayerfully with God. Let's pray. Just a few minutes over, but that's all good. Lord, I just thank you for this time. And Lord, just thinking about prayer, I'm just so thankful that you have given us prayer, Lord, that we can come before you at any time, that you hear not just our words, Lord, but you hear our hearts and our souls as they cry out to you throughout the day. I pray that you would just teach us to pray moment by moment every day, Lord, that we'd be in constant communion with you, that we'd be constantly coming to you with every little part of our day, Lord. I pray that you would use us in this, Lord. I pray that you would direct us in this. I pray that you would use us for your glory, and pray this in your name. Amen.